Winter is an author, speaker, entrepreneur, event host, and media personality who inspires her global audience by delivering a fresh message of hope and healing rooted in truth, wisdom, transparency, and compassion. Winter has authored 8 books and has a 2-part devotional on the YouVersion Bible app called Purpose Over Panic. Winter has also founded and leads a grounding mentorship and support community for women while professionally consulting for entrepreneurs and women in business. She holds an MBA from Liberty University and is a full-time doctoral student. Winter is a proud Arkansas native. Her greatest joy is being a mom of her 4 children. Welcome, Winter Harris, to Reality Right After.
Wellington!
I know, I'm so happy.
I'm so excited to be here. You've been my best friend in my head, like, since I started this reality TV journey.
I love it.
So it's so nice to, like...
It's my honor. We've been communicating through social media, legitimately, since you started Love & Marriage DC.
Correct.
Everybody knows I run the Reality Rundown. We cover all things reality TV. And one of the things that I like to do is always connect with the people on camera, because I feel my job as a reality TV news media site is to properly report on people.
Yes.
And sometimes when I know, you know, the characters involved and I can create these relationships, I know how to properly report on you guys. And I know, like, I know how Winter will say this. I know how Winter wouldn't say this.
Absolutely.
I know that Winter would not say this with this intention, you know?
Right.
So it helps. It helps. So thank you so much for always supporting and always, you know, being part of the family.
Absolutely. I'm honored to be here.
I love it. So, like I said, you are just such a established, intelligent, educated, well-rounded.
I try to be.
You know?
I try to be.
Let's talk about the foundation of it all. How was it growing up in Arkansas and your early life and your childhood?
So my foundation, I think, is what lends to my well-roundedness a mm-hmm. bit. My parents were great. I grew up in a 2-parent household. Dad was a doting dad. I tell men that if you think I'm spoiled, you can blame my dad, because he was all the things.
Right.
He brought me flowers, wrote me love letters. Like, I just... expected every man
lead
to
lead by example.
Yes, absolutely. So my home life was very healthy. It was good. There was no drama. We always had food on the table, clothes on our back.
I love it.
Roof over our head. We were not rich, but we were rich in love. Mm-hmm. We were rich in love and support and all the things that I feel like make a family a family.
Exactly.
However, growing up in a small town, I always felt out of place. I always felt like there was more to life than what I saw. There wasn't a lot of me, like black and brown people. It was a very small population of African Americans where I grew up. And so for me, it was always, what's outside of this? What is bigger than this?
Exactly.
I used to do pageants growing up. I started doing them at 5. And so I remember Debbie Turner.
Mm-hmm.
She won Miss America. I believe it was 1990, if I'm not mistaken. Could be wrong, off by a couple years, but pretty close. And she was from my hometown.
So you felt seen.
I felt seen, but she also gave me a glimmer of hope that a little girl from Jonesboro, Arkansas could be bigger than Jonesboro, Arkansas.
Right.
And so that really kind of sparked my, I guess, ambition and desire to aspire to do whatever my heart wanted. And
right.
I just believed that young that it was possible. So that was really my upbringing. I grew up with 2 siblings. I'm the oldest of 3 girls.
Okay.
My sisters are my best friends. I tell everyone this is why I'm not thirsty for friends, because
right.
I have built-in best friends.
Right.
My friends are great, but if they all decided not to be my friend,
they're still your sisters.
My sisters are going to be there. So I love that we're still very close to this day. My mom is an added best friend now that we've all gotten older, but I just had a great home life. So that home life has definitely lent to a solid foundation, a solid emotional foundation and mental foundation. And I think that's so important, especially being in this arena, because if you don't, it can really take a toll.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like the audience also sees that based on the way that you went about season 1, coming out of it, the little gray area that they try to put you in when it came to, like, are you coming back? Are you not coming back? And then realizing that there's no show without you. Let's just call it what it is. And then coming back to season 2, you know, as a full-time cast member.
Yes.
You know, no one can tell you that you're a friend of. No one can tell you anything.
No.
You've earned your spot.
Absolutely.
And have also given some people something to talk about as well in their own perspective stories. So how, I know that you say that you always believed that you could be more and that you could, you know, do something bigger. Did you ever think that it was going to be reality TV or if reality TV was going to be the start of like, you know,
no.
Everything.
No. If someone had told me that one day you're going to be a reality TV star, I would have been like, get out of here. Right. No way. That no.
Were you a reality TV fan before?
No. No, so I started watching reality TV, Real World. Let me tell you how far back this goes.
All right.
So I loved Real World, loved, you know, Tammy Rome, all those, loved watching Real World.
Right.
I kind of got into Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Okay.
Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Okay.
Real Housewives of OC.
Okay.
Right? Orange County. I remember them, but I didn't finish them.
Right,
so, I remember when reality TV really got started and we see the house, and I kind of left it. So, right. It wasn't at the forefront
but
of my mind.
But you just never thought that it was something that you would do?
No, never. Right. No, I always felt like I would be in media and entertainment. I really did. I did feel like that was a part of my journey and my destiny, so to speak. But I would have never thought maybe a news anchor.
Right.
Maybe like a meteorologist.
Right.
But no, not a reality
entertainment
TV.
Reporter.
Right.
Something like that.
But never this. Mm-hmm. So this has been a surprise even to me.
So, you know Monique.
Absolutely.
Right? And what was the first conversation where Love and Marriage DC was placed in front of your lap?
So that's a great question. So Monique actually reached out to me. At this time, I was still married to the man that you guys see me with on season one.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, I'm looking into getting back into reality TV. There's an opportunity that's been presented. I'm looking for couples. Since we know both you and your husband, would you guys potentially be interested?
Right.
And I was like, I don't know, you know, let me talk to him. At this time, if whether the audience knows or not, I was heavily into ministry at this time.
Okay.
I was a part of a 10,000 member community.
Okay.
And I was busy. And so I just really didn't know if it was a good fit. I didn't know if my then husband at the time would be interested. Mm-hmm. I talked to him about it. He was on board. I called her back. I said, well, he said he's on board. You know, what are the next steps? And she's like, well, I'll have a producer reach out to you and they'll let you know what to do from there.
Right.
We did a Skype interview with one of the casting assistants. They moved us to the next phase. Mm-hmm. We did a video interview with the production team. And then all hell broke loose in my personal life. So I called Monique back and I said, listen, there are some things happening right now. I don't necessarily know everything that's going on. I need to get a handle on it. And once I do, I'll follow back up. But please pull us from the running.
And it was based on the personal things that your then husband was going through.
Correct.
Right.
And so I said,
with the business.
With the business. Absolutely. I said, we need to bow out. And so she said, okay, no problem. You know.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
No,
I'm curious. Was that I'm protecting my marriage. I don't know what's happening. And let me just like focus on something that's real before I'm even entertaining the idea of being on television. Or was it like protection of self?
I don't know. I feel like at that time, all I could think was I don't have time to focus on this. There's too much happening. There's too much going on. And this was news to me. So it was like, wait a minute. It's like a bomb going off and you don't anticipate a bomb going off.
Exactly.
I got to deal with the bomb and the fallout of that bomb. None of this matters.
Exactly.
Like I wasn't desperate to be on TV. So it wasn't like, oh gosh, I'm missing out on opportunity. Just like, listen, wish you all the best.
Right.
I'll support the show when it comes out. I got to deal with what's going on at home. And so I just didn't even consider it. For me, it was like almost like being in a triage unit. Like,
right.
We were hemorrhaging from every side. And I was so blindsided by, you know, the realization that I had married a fraudulent person. That's heavy, 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 heavy.
Very heavy.
And I got, you know, I have my kids to think about.
Yeah.
I have my business to think about. I have my community to think about. Like so many.
Yourself.
Yes. Myself. I myself was the last person. I'm going to be honest.
Which should be your first.
It should be. But in the moment where I'm having to protect my babies, I'm having to protect my assets, I'm having to protect my business and what I've worked really hard for.
Right.
Myself couldn't even be a consideration. I hate to say that, but it's my truth.
I get it.
So yeah, I told her, you know, I got to focus on this and get this taken care of. Right. Fast forward, I actually ended up following up with her to explain what had happened. Mm-hmm. By this point, this had been June that everything went down, called her, pulled out. September, I reached back out to her to explain and told her what was going on. And she was like, you know, I'm sorry to hear it. She actually knew him. Her and Chris knew him. So she was just as stunned as I was to find out. And I said, you know, I wish you guys well. I'll support the show. Thank you for thinking of us. But, you know, I just got to take care of myself and take care of home. She understood. Fast forward, we got the announcement of Love and Marriage DC moving forward. Yeah. I reached out to her, congratulated her. Hey, I'm happy for you guys. I'll support the show. And January rolls around.
There was no way this show was happening without you.
It's the truth.
Keep going.
So January rolls around. They had casted the Silvas, the Lions, and the Tylers to star alongside the, you know, Monique and Chris.
Yeah.
January, they were filming their initial scene. Melody Holt from Love and Marriage Huntsville was supposed to be on set that night. Mm-hmm. She got sick. Monique does not want to pause filming. She calls me.
And it was like a one of Monique's events. I remember.
Absolutely.
It was like the opener.
It was the opener. Yeah. Very first scene. She called me. She said, Winter, the lady who's supposed to do our opening got sick. I don't want to cancel production. Everything's been taken care of. It's literally down the street from your house. Are you able to make it? And I was like, well, what do you need me to do? And she was like, do what you do. Like, you're the only person I know that does, like, motivational speaking. That's what she was coming to do. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I was like, tell me what time to show up. I'll be there. She was like, well, are you okay with it being filmed? It's for the show. And I was like, yeah, that's no problem. So that is the start of my journey on Love and Marriage DC. A couple of the production team members, like, the, you know, our EP and our CEO from Kingdom Reign at the time was on set. And they pulled me to the side and was like, will you film again in a couple of days? And that was the Tyler's anniversary party. I was like, okay, sure. So in the meantime, you know, this is about a 3-day difference. So I filmed on a Tuesday. Friday was the Tyler's party. They had contacted Carlos and said, listen, we think we got a new addition to this cast. And so he actually had flown in and they pulled me back during that scene to meet Carlos. And at that point, he asked me if I wanted to be a part of the cast. And I was like, okay, we'll give it a go. Right. I had no idea what I was getting into.
Because you were already like filmed a couple scenes. At this point, it's kind of like crazy not to just keep going. They like you.
Right. And I mean, for me, if all you're asking me to do is show up and be me.
And be yourself.
And talk. I'm a talker.
Exactly.
So I'm like, say less. I can show up and talk.
Which in hindsight, probably being a friend of season one was the perfect way for this to come together, because you, the responsibility wasn't on you to bring on the storylines and where the show was going to go.
Absolutely.
The responsibility was for you to react being the moment and, you know, just be a character. And it was the fact that every storyline revolved around you as soon as you got on set.
Absolutely.
So I just want to move forward a little bit. Because I wanted to give people that specifically, just to give them, you know, some type of background and like foundation of how you got involved into this cast and why your position in this cast is so important. You're not someone that is here because they don't have a storyline or they don't have a connection to the cast or they don't have a connection to the crew or the story of how the show came together.
Right.
You've been here from the beginning.
Absolutely.
You know, and the show revolved around you the moment that you stepped into the scene. And of course, this show is about couples and their lives and their partnerships and their marriages and their love.
Yes.
But there's a friendship aspect to it.
Absolutely.
And you guys are all in an ensemble cast. And
It's
just, that's how the dominoes, you know, fell. And
that's how the cookie crumbled.
That's how the cookie crumbled.
Yes.
So, Real Housewives of Potomac alum, Monique Samuels and Chris, left the show after season one.
Yes.
Right? They later announced that they were getting a divorce. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the divorce has been finalized yet or it has. Uh-huh. Was there any... Why did you think initially Monique didn't come to the show before you heard anything? Or did you find out that she wasn't coming when the divorce thing happened?
So no. So true story. So Monique and I at the time shared a glam squad. So her makeup artist and hairstylist was my makeup artist and hairstylist. And so we had a birthday party for them. And she actually collaborated with Ashley Darby to throw it at Ashley Darby's house.
Right.
And so when we went to that party that night, her and Chris were there. And so we all stepped to the side because at this point we know that the reunion has happened.
Right.
Season one was very difficult for me. Right. It was very tough. I was very disappointed with the way some things had transpired.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really hadn't spoken since the reunion. So that was the first time I'm seeing them since we filmed. And during that conversation, I feel like we kind of hashed a lot out. But they also revealed to me that they were unsure of whether or not they would return.
And did they say why?
A lot of it had to do with contract negotiations.
Okay.
And, you know, they were just like, we're not sure. We haven't filmed. So if you wonder why we're missing, it's because we're still trying to work out the details. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I understand that. At that time, they did share that they were separated. But they seemed, I will say, I spoke to Chris for a while that night. He seemed very hopeful that they would work things out. Mm-hmm. So when they later announced the divorce intentions, I was sad to hear that because I do know, at least from his side of things, that is not what he wanted. So I never advocate for divorce, and I'm twice divorced, but it's so hard on kids.
I mean, who wants to get divorced?
No, nobody gets married to get divorced.
Exactly.
Like, even my situation, season one, like, it's unfortunate the way it ended, and I do feel like God spared me in a sense because it could have just been way worse than it was, and I was only a year in. Mm. But at the end of the day, when I said I do, it wasn't to think a year later I would be filing papers for divorce, right? Mm. So it's always difficult. So it was definitely contract initially, and then I think from what I could tell, it seemed like they were willing to be open about the challenges they were having and navigating their separation. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, they weren't able to come to a resolution with, you know, the powers that be that control the contracts. And that happens. That legitimately happens.
All the time.
And so they move forward. Yeah.
And was there any feeling, you know, let's just call it spade a spade. Love and Marriage DC was built around Monique and Chris at first because they already had a following from the Real Houses of Potomac.
Yes.
Was there a feeling amongst the cast like Monique and Chris are leaving the show? Like, how are we going to go about this? You know, worries? Do you feel like the show was in trouble, et cetera?
I'm going to be honest. You have to remember, I did not end on the best note with this cast. And so I actually called my contact with, you know, the network and the production company. And I was like, I don't know that I personally have a place here.
Yeah.
Because Monique and Chris are gone.
They're
not
me.
Speaking to the other cast member.
Right.
Like, what do we do here? Like, what's the next steps? They assured me that they felt like we could pull it together somehow. And they were trying to work with all of us to figure out if we were able to find some sort of continuity.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where I feel like where the fans kind of miss a lot of context.
Mm-hmm.
We're filming a show. Like, you can't have people not speaking or not talking and not want. It doesn't work that way.
And let me tell you something, as someone that watches, I'm a fan, but also I work behind the scenes and I've seen these type of productions and this type of ensemble cast all the time. If you don't speak to each other, there's no point on even shooting the show.
No.
And if you are purposely going to, you know, not shoot with someone, or I'm not filming with this person, or not even being mature enough to get to a resolution.
Yes.
You're defeating the purpose of this, and you're not a good reality TV cast member.
Absolutely.
That's just what it is.
Absolutely. And you know what? Season one was tough, but I've said this openly, and I've said this to production, and I've said this to other cast members, as difficult as season one was for me, I never refused to film. I never left a scene unless I was put out of it. I showed up.
And worked.
And I worked. I clocked in.
Yeah.
So when I make the comment that some people need to clock in, that's not a dig.
Who are some people?
Well, I said this about Joy. I said this about Joy. And I said that because I feel like, listen, we're here to shoot a show. We're here to give what we need to give. And listen, if you feel a way about someone, don't wait until you can't see them to say it.
Exactly.
Give us that juice right in the scene.
Because that's the whole point of reality television.
Absolutely.
To you know, confront each other.
Absolutely.
You know, I get it. There's an unnatural aspect of reality television.
Yes.
Because I cannot like you and not tell you and move on with my life. Yes. And not necessarily have to sit down at a restaurant and tell you that I don't like you. You know, but we're in a reality TV show.
Absolutely.
So I completely agree. Joy needs to clock in, because what's the point of you joining this cast? I get it. You don't come from this type of show.
Right.
Then why even? You know what you were getting yourself signed up to.
And maybe they didn't, because I think it's one thing to perceive a thing from the outside looking in until you're in
until you're in it.
And so when I made the comment, like, I honestly believe she needs to clock in outside of confessionals, that's a constructive criticism. I don't hate her. I don't have a reason to. But hey, we're all working here.
Right.
If I got an issue with Ashley, if I clock in confessionals, she's going to hear that in scene as well.
Exactly.
We have said some crazy stuff to each other. And Arena and I have gotten into it. How we feel is how we feel.
Exactly.
But that same energy that you bring outside, you got to bring inside. And I honestly think it would be rather entertaining, because I'm not the person with the juice of the drama this season. I'm more of an outlier. I think people have noticed that. And people are like, well, Winter, you know, you have had a soft season. I'm like, listen, I'm not going to get involved.
It's important, though, because right now there's a lot of conflict on your show.
Absolutely.
So there's someone that needs to be, like, you know, somewhat of a Switzerland between everybody.
Absolutely.
Because too much can also be inorganic and not work with the audience. So I appreciate you understanding that, you know, sometimes you need to play a different role.
You got to fall back at times. And this is, I tell people all the time, one thing I've learned about reality TV, I feel like I could be a producer, but it is a skill. And I say all the time to different people, I'm like, chess, not checkers.
Right.
Chess, not checkers.
And playing the long game.
Absolutely. Chess, not checkers. You focus too much on, you know, checkers is simple. It's up, down,
right.
Across, right? Diagonal. Like, play chess.
Yeah.
Chess requires thought. It requires intention. It requires, you know, certain moves mm-hmm. that set you up for success. It is skill.
Right.
And so I observe sometimes and I get annoyed. I'm going to be honest. I think I've been very vocal online. People mm-hmm. can see my tweets. My cast annoys me right now. And I say that respectfully because a lot of us are forgetting. We're forgetting why we're here. We're forgetting the essence of reality TV. And I'm going to charge it up to a lot of us being new
mm-hmm.
or maybe just kind of getting our feet wet. But, you know, we're three seasons in for the most part.
Right.
I'm not going to give us too much slack. And it's becoming a cesspool of foolishness where, okay, guys, this is not even fun. I love a little mess and I love a little shade. That's not going to make me flinch.
Exactly.
And it's not going to make me fold. But when it starts to lose its essence,
mm-hmm.
that's not fun for me. I would rather do other things. I'm going to be on, like, move me somewhere else. Like, I joke with Carlos. I'm like, you sure you don't got any openings on Bell Collective? I feel like my little Southern self would be great fit for that. It's just so hard, I think, to sit and observe. And I think people think they're doing what's good. And I'm like, no. The fans don't like that
exactly.
at all. They can see right through, I think.
And it's all about being organic.
Absolutely.
You know?
So thank you. Organic is a great word. They can see through the BS mm-hmm. when we're not.
Exactly.
They can see through, you know, amplified foolery when mm-hmm. it's not organic. It's not reality. It's not, you know, true to the narrative of what's really going on. So I think I've been very vocal and I've tried to do my best not to be, you know, overly critical, but it is very frustrating right now.
I can understand.
And it's caused me to reflect and really pause and think.
So I'm going to get back to that.
Uh-huh.
A lot of fans were not pleased with the handling on the production side of season two, specifically the period that season two took a pause.
Uh-huh.
And we're now seeing season 2B that was filmed over a year ago.
Uh-huh.
You know, people are reliving stuff from over a year ago.
Absolutely.
The reunion was already filmed.
Yes.
Usually you see a season play out on
yes.
air. You get fan reaction.
Uh-huh.
You prepare yourself for a reunion.
Uh-huh.
And you conclude everything.
Mm-hmm.
At the reunion, to me personally, I feel like we're not going to get any conclusion. Because the way you thought, the way you were thinking in that reunion is not the way that you're thinking right now.
Absolutely not.
So even the reunion, like, a lot of people are... a lot of cast members have been teasing the reunion, like, because I know you guys come to some, there's a lot of blows that come at the reunion.
Absolutely.
But it's still a point of uncertainty to me because it's not a true reflection of where the cast stands.
Absolutely.
You know? Were you upset with production?
It's frustrating. I think it's natural. I think it's a human response because there was no communication. Mm-hmm. So we didn't know what was going on. So when
you
fans,
were just kept in the dark.
Absolutely. So when fans tweeted us and asked us, like, hey, what's going on? Have you guys been canceled? We didn't have any answers. I'm like, well, I don't know. I don't know. My cast doesn't know. I'm like, no one knows anything. And interestingly enough, we had Carlos on our YouTube recap, and mm-hmm. he did apologize for how things were handled. And I appreciated that. But the reality is that, yeah, fans are watching things that are a year old. Fans are not really going to get a resolution because, again, this cast is nowhere near where it was a year ago. And it's definitely nowhere near where it was at the reunion.
Exactly.
Like, we are way, way off.
Let's get into some of the mess.
Yes.
So you and the Tylers.
Yes.
Where did things go wrong?
Arena running her mouth.
So the drama between Arena and Winter has been showcased so far on season 2 of Love and Marriage DC, with the two originally getting into it after Winter sent Arena a DM explaining that the streets had been spreading hurtful rumors about her son.
Mm-hmm.
And it was later proven that you didn't mean no mess when it came to this DM. Nope. You were just trying, and you did it off camera. Off the show.
Absolutely.
Just trying to let you know, sister, they're talking about your kids.
Absolutely.
You then felt that Arena took this and made it bigger.
Absolutely.
By going on podcast interviews and making it seem like you were being messy.
Yes.
And in result, being messy by mishandling that whole situation.
Yes.
Did you feel like Arena was doing that for the show?
Absolutely. I feel like I have always rode the middle with Arena. I have always been very fair to the point where Ashley and I have literally verbally disagreed and got into disagreements over, I don't want to say defense,
mm-hmm.
but blame the Libra in me. I can
Libra.
Say, right, this is why I love you. Okay, blame the Libra in me, but we are very balanced.
Yes.
And we can always see both sides.
Yeah.
And so because I think that way, I would always tell her, listen, you may not agree with me and I may not agree with you. And you may not feel like I understand. But on the outside looking in, I can see fault on both sides. Mm-hmm. I can see where you messed up and I can see where she messed up.
Mm-hmm.
My only critique to Arena with the Joy and Ashley situation was just stay out of it. Just tell them, listen, I don't care what y'all do. Y'all figure it out. But I'm not going to pick a side. I love you both. Ashley, I feel like you were wrong here. Joy, I feel like you were wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move forward. She didn't do that. That's the reality. And that will play out the remainder of the season. Now, aside from the Ashley and Joy and Arena, that has nothing to do with me. My issue with Arena is that I feel like in a lot of ways, either she's overproduced or she's acting.
By herself.
Absolutely.
Got it.
And I'm like, what are we doing? And I don't say this as a dig, but Arena and I are actually the oldest cast members as far as the women.
Yeah.
I think the only two men that are older than us are, I think, Jamie. Jamie's the oldest.
Right.
So there's Jamie, there's Arena, I think there's Black, there's Quick, and then there's me. But when it comes to the ladies, Arena's older than I am, and then I'm the oldest.
Right.
So I feel like as the two older women on this cast, we should not be the source of the mess. Which is why I worked very hard.
Manufactured mess.
Let's start there. So I feel like my mess, while it wasn't manufactured, it was organic, right? So the mess I had season 1 was organic mess.
Exactly.
It just what it is.
Yeah.
However, I feel like I've worked very hard to be intentional about rectifying or remedying the fallout from season 1.
Yeah.
And I've been very good about making amends. That was really my sole goal. You guys saw that.
Yeah.
That meant I had to fall back. That meant I had to bite my tongue. Let me tell you what. Had I not bit my tongue, that shit event we had,
mm-hmm.
oh, that would have went real left. I had to physically, I was sitting right by Sherelle and she was like, you did so good. I'm like, girl, I am struggling right now. Because when Arena comes in and says, why is Winter here? I'm like, Heffa, you know why I'm here. Cut it out.
Right,
I was like, Winter.
There's a call sheet.
Right, right. You know what time? We all had to be here to say no.
Girl, please.
I was like, stop. So it's stuff like that where in my logical mind, in the snappy part of Winter wants to be like, Heffa,
I want to play something for you. And I want you to react to
okay.
it. And I want you to tell me like what you think about it.
Okay.
So the scene that we just watched today, when Ashley and Winter and I had that conversation at the seafood restaurant, before Ashley walked in, Winter and I had a scene. We had a conversation. And Winter and I had a deep conversation about her going on live talking about me and my family. And I told her, I said, look, before Ashley comes, this was film.
Okay, Ms. Hillary.
Before Ashley shows up, let's talk about this. I said, we cannot move forward if you're going to still go on YouTube or go on your lives or blogs or Twitter and talk about me and my husband. You know, you say in one breath, we're cool, let's move forward. We're going to be cordial. I like everybody. And then 2 days later, you're going on a live talking about Raina and Jamie's doing this. And I heard Raina got better in her body. You know, just making up and saying all kinds of stuff. So I said, Winter, we're not going to do this. I said, in order for me to move forward with you, you got to stop it. But that didn't air.
Do you think Winter is a pick me?
I think so.
What do you think, Jamie?
Absolutely. Because Winter still knows what she knows about Quit and whoever this girl was from Reunion. She still know that. She just ain't talking about it no more. And that's why I feel like her presence on season 2B is what it is. It's like, why you here?
So that's interesting.
Let's break it down.
Let's break it down.
So Arena feels... First of all, she says that she put you on notice, and she says that before that scene that we saw in one of the latest episodes, she had a conversation with you and she told you, in order for us to move forward, you need to stop being messy.
So let's address that. So what Arena's not being honest about is that it had nothing to do with me going on live about her and Jamie. The issue was that I had told Jamie, because Jamie asked me about something that was said about her, okay, in an event that Carmen planned. You guys know Carmen. Carmen's on this season.
Yeah.
So, Carmen planned an event. There was a young man that was there that said something very negative about Arena. I checked him because it was a group of us that was around, and he didn't care.
He said he messed with her?
He did. And I said, hey.
While she was married?
Absolutely. Hey. This is not the place for that. Cut it out. Jamie, later, after that, asked me what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I told him the truth. Arena was mad at me for telling Jamie that. She contacted Ashley. God is my witness. I didn't know this. Ashley told me. She contacted Ashley and was like, well, why would she tell Jamie? So she was mad at me for telling Jamie what the guy said. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
He asked me, what am I going to... I don't have a reason to
lie. And that's your
lie.
Husband.
Correct. He asked me, I'm going
to
tell it.
If something happens about your marriage and your husband comes to me... At this point, I'm thinking you guys are a unison. If he's coming to talk to me, he probably...
You know. Right. So
what's the...
That was what we talked about before we filmed. There had nothing to do with me going on live. It had nothing to do with me talking about their marriage. She was mad at me for not going to him, but telling him what the guy said. Well, why would you have to repeat it? He asked me. If he asked me what was said, I'm going to tell him what was said. I don't have a reason not to. So we ended up getting into a back and forth on Twitter. And I can't remember what actually sparked it, but we ended up just going back and forth. And so Ashley later tells me like, hey, Arena's upset that you told Jamie. And I was like, I don't understand why she's mad at me for that. Like, he asked me, I told him, end of the story.
Right.
He did ask me what the gentleman's name was.
Mm-hmm.
I refused to tell him that because I'm like, hey, that doesn't matter. I'm not trying to be in the middle of somebody getting hurt or something like that. I just said, hey, I told him not to repeat it and to cut it out from talking about it, moving onward. That was the end of that. Next thing you know, Arena's mad at me. And then I later found out it's because I told Jamie what the guy said. At the end of the day, again, manufacturing mess. Don't tell half the truth. Tell all the truth. Because up until this point, I don't even talk about the Tylers. Right. The Tylers are not in my vocabulary because we're not friends technically at this point. And so we did have that conversation prior to Ashley getting into that scene. But that's what it was related to. And she just said, well, why did you have to repeat it? You could have just not said anything and just left it alone. And I was like, it wasn't about picking it up or messing with it. It's your husband asked me what was said. Yeah. I told him.
Simple.
End of story.
What about pick me?
I don't know what a pick me is.
So what I sense from the video, you have some information about Quick. And they feel that you not choosing to share whatever that information is and in a way becoming a friend with Ashley this season makes you a pick me in the sense of like, Ashley, pick me to be your friend because I am not sharing this information that I know about your husband.
But there were two people that I had information on. Jamie was included. So would I be a pick me if I wanted to be their friends?
So would sharing...
Well, how does sharing
the... sharing Quick's information in a way throw Jamie under the bus?
According to the information, they both were guilty for whatever they did. So my thing is...
How about you stop asking for Winter to share her information?
It's really... That's what I'm like. I'm so confused. It's like, live and let live, sweetheart. Right. I chose not to share it on purpose. Do we not remember the receipt that I don't... It's funny because I know for a fact, Monique asked someone close to me if I had receipts and they said she absolutely did.
Mm-hmm.
That was not a game. I chose to take the L because it's like, there's a such thing as going low. Does Winter really want to go that low? Is it necessary? And I said, you know what? I don't want to be that person. I don't mind going, you know, taking our digs, but I don't want to be the person that does that.
Have you feel like they've gone low with you?
Absolutely. As recent as...
I was just about to tell you because I saw some body shaming comments that I really didn't like.
Absolutely. But this is the thing. And I feel like Arena skates by because she presents very well. And that's been my issue. I said, you know, people talk about Dr. Jackie, right? We have Arena.
She be keeping people in check like that? Why? It's not her job.
It's weird. But we say, oh, no, I just want everybody to be happy. And Winter's the messy one. And, you know, Sherelle's the messy one. You went on a national platform and called a woman's husband shady. I basically said the same thing season one. It was framed differently, but I basically said that your husband was being shady and I got taken to task over it.
Right.
You somehow got a pass because it's wrapped in a cute little package.
Right.
And you come across very demure and subtle. But we have one of those and I feel like she's that person. She hasn't just body shamed me, she's body shamed Sherelle. So that's a very common theme. These are things that people don't know because it's not filmed, excuse me. But
does it ever get to a point where you want to talk to production about it?
No, because I think I said she looked like the letter P. I mean, I got my lick back. I got my lick back. I was like, you know, this is the thing. I have birthed 4 kids. I am proud of my body. It has been through war, hell, and back. I am okay. I've done a lot of work. I'm happy with the way I look. My man loves it.
You're beautiful. Like,
listen, I am unbothered. So, no, but what I don't like is those comments can be made and they're glossed over.
Right.
But those are real things. Those are real comments that you're making. Those are hurtful comments that you're making. And you're also speaking when a large part of your audience can identify with women who look like us, you know, like women who look like us.
Yeah.
So there's that piece of it. But she also recently stated that I paid.
I was going to get into you, Sha. So Yusha is a musical artist.
He is.
Speaker. Uh-huh. Has over 20 years of experience in recording and writing music. In episode 9, which aired in March 18th of 2023,
mm-hmm.
Harris, an entrepreneur, performed at her romancipation with her new guy. Moreover, Ashley and Arena also called a truce with her. That's what we saw in that episode. And then you and Yusha appeared in a Friends Who Smash podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where everything started.
Yes.
I'm going to just go straight to the point when it comes to this relationship.
Go right ahead.
Did you feel used? Because this is my thing, Winter.
Get into it. Get into it, Wellington. Let's go.
I'm going to keep it a buck with
keep
you.
Keep it a buck 50.
I did not like when I saw him in confessional with you. I thought it was too soon. I thought I see her leading with her heart.
Yes.
But because of the platform that you're on, you have to be a little bit more careful when it comes to that, especially where you live.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people are looking for the next reality show to get on.
Yes.
Especially when they do the things that they do mm-hmm. that needs
exposure.
Exposure.
Absolutely.
So, in your opinion, was he just using you the entire time?
I believe so. And so it's interesting to watch the season back, right? Because hindsight is always 20/20. And I go back to the initial podcast where we were introduced, which is why I find it comical that Arena would insinuate that I paid him. I'm like, I didn't even know him. I didn't know he existed.
Right. We literally saw the entire thing start from that podcast.
Right. I'm like, sweetie, okay, we got to work on, if you're going to manufacture some things, it's got to have some substance, right?
Right, right.
I didn't know him. I didn't know of him. I had never met him. In fact, I was told by production that particular scene to look cute. That's all I knew. I didn't even know that the other co-host was a guy.
Right.
And I was like, okay, look cute, say less. I'm going to look cute. Showed up looking cute. And he was there. I look at that scene. And I remember Black and Sherelle basically trying to get us to agree to, right. you know, meet up. And
just
he's
trying to hold the mic.
And he's very uncertain.
Mm-hmm.
He's very apprehensive. And to me, looking back at that, that gives me the thought process that he's a man that likes to take his time to make sure that he wants to pursue a woman.
Mm.
And so the fact that it was kind of like abrupt and thrown on him, he was very uncomfortable with that. So to think that I would have to pay someone, that's that. With what money are we paying?
For what reason?
Like,
you did the first season by yourself.
What was the reason, right? What was the reason and with what money? Like, I have...
And you, like, you have kids.
Four kids, two in college. My kids do not qualify for financial aid. Like, I would never, but it just wasn't necessary. There were other people I could have brought on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But this is interesting because I'm talking to you about this for the first time. Black actually had a conversation with him about his intentions. He explained like the sensitivity around my past. And he mm-hmm. was like, you know, if you're not sure, then don't move forward.
Right.
Only move forward if you're sure and you really like her like that.
Right.
So Sherelle actually called me and it's so funny. This is the way she really talks and I won't say it. So you don't have to bleep it out. But she was like, no, you should really, he really F's with you. Like, I'm like, he F's with you. She's like, no, it's a good thing. Like he really, really F's with you. I'm like, okay, that's news to me. And let me just be clear. Yusha's a few years younger than I am. So I think there's a little bit of a.
But no shade. You were the catch.
I'm always the catch.
It's truly no shade. Like, he was handsome, but you were the catch.
I'm always the catch. That's how I feel. I'm always the catch. Like, but he was a few years younger than me, so I was just like, what is F's with you? Like, I'm like, am I old? Because I don't know what that means. But she was basically saying, no, he really likes you. He really wants to get to know you. So mm-hmm. this is where we move forward with planning. They said, hey, let's do a double date. We hit up Chef JR. We do the cooking class at his house. So that whole, like, I was just like, okay, this is where I really got fed up with my cast. I'm like, we are so dang desperate to keep the wheels rolling that we want to manufacture foolery. I paid him, and it didn't seem real to me. It just seemed kind of fake.
But why would she say that if she was also the one that told you about the mess that he had going on?
Uh-huh.
Which made you then reconsider your entire relationship with him.
Not even just that. So Jamie had a birthday party. He's a Taurus. And at this time, this is the conversation. I actually posted it on Twitter because I was just like, let's just squash the BS here. So Jamie had a birthday party. Yusha knew we were on the outs. He went around me and asked Jamie if he could come to his party. Now, it's important to know that prior to this, Yusha refused to deal with the Tylers because one of Jamie's friends tried to approach me.
Okay.
While we were together. And he felt disrespected by that.
Okay.
So he was like, I can't support anything that they do. That's their boy being foul. I'm like, okay, cool. I didn't think anything else of it.
Right.
Fast forward.
He's trying to get to a party.
Now you're trying to get to a party. Interesting. All of a sudden, y'all cool now.
Right.
So I was very weirded out. Arena reached out to me. I didn't know that he had asked Jamie. Arena told me.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was just like, I don't like it. I don't agree with it. I told Jamie if he lets him come, he cannot sit with us. She's like, I actually told him no, he can't come. But if he does and you let him come, he cannot be anywhere near us.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I appreciate that. And I was just like, you know, shaking my head. Like, this is literally our exchange because I feel like she's looking out. Arena and I are not friends, but we're coworkers. We're cast members. It's a respect thing. And I appreciated her for doing that. So for now you to circle back and say, oh, it didn't seem real. Stop producing yourself. It's not necessary. Just say, you know what? I'm not feeling Winter right now. She made a comment I don't agree with. Because let's keep it a buck 50.
Yeah.
All of this, all of a sudden, I believe Yusha's paid and I believe the relationship is fake. It came about because I said Joy needs to clock in.
Right.
Now you're magically, oh, now we gotta figure out something to be mad at Winter.
Let me clock in too.
That's how I felt. So I clocked in.
Right.
So since we want to play those little yin-yang games, let's play them.
Right.
Because you got to remember, there's documentation, sis. There's documentation of your husband as well saying, you know what? I wasn't going to go that route. But then, you know, I was told I got to do the scene again. So, you know, I clocked in. This is the issue. I don't have to tell myself when to clock in. A lot of my responses you're getting are the responses you would get on the street.
Right.
I don't have to produce. I don't have to produce myself. I don't have to practice my lines and practice my reads. What you get is what you get. But don't pretend. And that's the part that's really, it's not hurtful. I'm not close enough to her to be hurt by it. It's disappointing. And it makes me lose respect for her as a cast member or as a castmate because it's like, we're better than this.
Right.
Like a lot, I feel, of the magic of season one and the beginning of season two is because we're authentic. We're bringing our authentic selves. Right. You created this Ray Ray character that I can't stand because I don't believe it's authentically you. I believe that the person that we see season one, where she's sweet, she's even, she's fun, that's Arena.
Right.
And I'm not saying everyone doesn't have a side to them that you know, can't get witted. And I believe she has, but I don't think that's who she is on the daily. So when I see those reactions or I see the Ray Ray, it's weird.
It's weird.
I don't feel like it's authentically her. And I told Carlos, I said, quit gassing her up and I did say, don't put a battery in her pack. You put a battery pack in her. And now it's like the Energizer Bunny. All of a sudden, we got so much energy and we got so much to say and we got so much rah, rah, rah.
Right.
That's not who she is.
Well, if you had the power and you were a casting director and you're looking at season three.
Absolutely.
What
would I do?
What would you do?
Ooh, Wellington, this is an interesting question. Okay.
First things first. Would you come back for the show season three, if asked?
I would say for me right now, it is a no. And I say that respectfully because I honestly think I've outgrown this circle. I really have.
And this is why I will say, this is why I fuck with you. This is why I fuck with you because you're real. And if you feel like that, what is the point?
It's so this is the thing. I enjoy the back and forth. I enjoy the shade throwing. I enjoy the ability to utilize my quick wit because that is fun for me. Mm-hmm. The little mess that we have, that's fun for me too. Yeah. It's par for the course. It's like being in a great sparring match. Yeah. I live for those moments, which is why there's a scene where Ashley and I come face to face for the first time in season 2A. They cut out a majority of that scene. They should have just let it roll. When I tell you the sparring that happened in that scene, it was Classic. You talking about rocking the internet? They should have just let it. I don't know why.
Uncensored.
I'm like, release the Kraken. It was so good.
If you're listening on Uncensored on YouTube.
Yes, please drop the unfiltered footage. It is great TV.
Right.
In fact, the workout scene, even Sherelle was like, well, dang it, I forgot that I was in the scene too. She was like, no, this is great. Like, but it's organic. Right. It is us. We really are not feeling each other. We don't like each other. And it is just rolling.
Right.
We're rolling with it. So no, I really feel like I've outgrown the circle. No shade to any of them. I have huge aspirations and dreams. I have a huge vision for myself. I have worked very hard outside of this show to build my platform, to build my brand. My ultimate desire is to be influential and to create impact all over the world, not just in the DMV. That's my truth. That's my truth. If I were to come back, I would really want to see the Silvas back. And Ashley, don't be mad at me when I say, no, she's not. This is my truth. I would really want for her and Quick to show the world, good or bad, them working on their marriage. We talk a lot about Quick being gone. He works a lot and how that's impacted her. Let's dig into that.
Right.
Let's show what that looks like. There's a lot of people that can relate to that.
Let's stop arguing with each other and let's actually get about the love and marriage.
Yeah, let's get into it. I would love for you guys to see my personal life. I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like happy.
With a new guy.
And let's talk about this new guy temporarily and we'll get back to what you're asking me. So this show is a year old. Me and my new guy have been together over 10 months. I tell people that know me, like legitimately, I have been through a lot. I have been through hell and back when it comes to love. I've made a lot of mistakes. I take ownership for them. But the reality is I feel like I finally met my soulmate. That's my truth.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you. But he's solid as they come. He's supportive. He's grounded. He's all the things that I feel like I've always wanted, but I was not ready for.
Right.
And I wasn't ready to recognize. So I would love for you guys to see that. My kids are growing up. They're getting older. They've been a part of this show in some capacity. I would love for you guys to continue to see that dynamic. I want the Tylers to quit skirting around the BS. We see bits and pieces of the things they got going on. Same thing with the Silvas.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into it. Don't just talk around it. Don't just hint to it. Let's show. There are plenty of people that can relate. The reality is that people that have been married for 20, 30, 40 years, their stories aren't perfect.
Right.
The circumstances aren't perfect. They aren't always cookie cutter. Let's quit pretending like you guys are the super cute couple that's had it all together. That's not the truth. We know that's not the truth. Let's get into it. We'd love to see that.
And fire the petties.
I would drop the petties altogether. And this is the first time I'm saying this publicly. And it's no shade to Joy and Clifton. I think they are great people. But when it comes to this cast, I believe their introduction interrupted the dynamics. I really, really do. I believe they would have, and I said this on Twitter, that I believe they would have been better introduced as friends of the show.
I agree.
I really, really do. Just like the Duncans have been introduced as friends of the show.
Exactly.
I think that's a perfect introduction for them. But now seeing what I've seen and how things have been navigated, I have seen both on, you know, watching it like everyone else watching it. And I've seen the fallout and the play out. It's like, this is not for y'all.
Yeah.
This is not for y'all. And
y'all don't even really do what y'all supposed to be doing in scene anyways. So it's like, why are we dragging bad reality? There's bad reality TV people. There is. Why are we dragging that in? Like, no, let's cut and reassess.
What I feel like should have happened, Wellington, if I was a casting or if I was a part of production, I would have said, everyone on this cast that's full time, give us a couple that you are friends with, that you believe would be a great addition to this cast.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to spend the next season vetting them out.
Right.
And may the best couple win. I believe that would have been the great way. And I believe it would have given us time to mesh as a cast. It would have given us time to address the fallout from Monique and Chris not coming back. It just would have allowed for us to simmer like I felt like we needed to, mm-hmm. and allowed the audience to truly get into the core of this cast, mm-hmm. versus introducing new people right off the bat. And I just don't believe they're a good fit. Off the bat, we already have drama with Joy and Black, and drama that none of us can relate to. It ain't got ish to do with us.
Or even know.
We don't know. We don't know. Why are we talking about this? Right. And then on top of that, you don't even want to have resolution.
So what's the point?
Why are we here? Why are we here? It's weird. And again, I'm never going to be mad at the Tylers riding for the Petties. Those are their friends now. Cool. I'm never going to be mad for Ashley riding for the Duncans. They've been friends for a decade. But let's call a thing a thing. We're all here to do a job.
Right.
And there's nothing worse than working on a job where you feel like some of your coworkers are incompetent. Or they're not pulling their weight. Or I hate being on a team. You ever been in college? I hate being on a dang team and you're the only one that's doing all the work for the It's not right. It's not okay. It's and not so fun. People wonder why things are so bad this season. If you really pay attention and you really watch reality TV, this cast is disjointed.
It is.
It's disjointed. There's a lot of dynamics that are happening that are just off the wall because we've messed up the continuity.
Yep.
And so...
And production has to step in. There's no, I personally feel like production
has to step in. Oh, we are way past production stepping in. No... Because legitimately, we have some cast members that are going out here. They're saying they're not going to film with people. Then please just...
Leave.
Like, why are we saying this? Right. It's not helpful. It's not stirring up drama. It makes us look stupid. It right. makes us look like we don't know what we're doing and we have no business being on TV.
Exactly.
So when I see that, does Winter want to come back to that? No, I don't. I don't. It doesn't seem enticing.
Right.
It's not fun. I don't even find it fun to banter anymore. I don't even interact on... If you watch my Twitter... Winter doesn't interact in Love and Marriage DC stuff anymore because it's not fun. I'm giving y'all free content if I sit here and banter over nonsense.
You're so right by that.
I'm so serious. We look stupid. And it's like, Winter's always talking mess. It ain't about y'all. Let's step outside of the show for a second. Let's get into the business room. Right. Let's go into the boardroom. Let's have a team meeting.
Right.
Pause. This ain't got nothing to do with the show. This is, as a team, we effing suck right now. Mm-hmm. And if you think that anything that you're doing outside of this is helping, you're wrong. No one is clocking in. No one is doing what they're supposed to do. And we look a mess. And you ought to be embarrassed. I am. I'm disappointed. I'm embarrassed. I don't want to be a part of this team because it looks foolish. And until we can figure out how to pull that together, baby, I'm going to be up next to my man. Living my life, enjoying my family and my friends and this beautiful life that God has given me to live, the beautiful opportunities he's bringing across my path, and I'm going to be all right.
And that's Period. What we can do. Thank you so much for joining me on your second time on Reality Right After.
Second
time. I really appreciate
it. Thank you, Wellington.
Please let the audience know everything they need to know. Your camera is right here. Yes. And let them know like where to find you and everything you got going on coming up.
Listen, I love you guys so much. Thank you to every snowflake that has rocked with me and continues to rock with me. Go to simplywinter.com to follow all things Simply Winter. Download my new single, yep. Fall. It's available on all musical platforms. I want to see you at every Romancipation I host. If you are a lady looking to grow in your life, love, and business, sign up to join my new Grow Her community. We are expanding and growing, and we have some amazing things on the horizon. If you need a speaker, a host, listen, we worldwide. We working on some things in some UKs. And listen, I'm so pumped. Yes, we'll do it. Reach out to me. My team is waiting to hear from you. But the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come.
I feel the same way for you, too.
Thank you.
You're my Libra sister, so I love it. Thank you so much, Winter.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you.